Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 2002. Today's session is titled, From Generation to Generation, and it's presented by Margie Fiedler. The number is FIM2002-01. Let's listen in.
On a nice, beautiful, sunny day, so we really appreciate you coming out. This is kind of a combination session to talk a little bit about where Holden is going to be going in terms of program, vision, capital improvements with the village in the next 7 to 10 years. You probably don't know because we have just more or less announced our campaign for Holden's future. Was just officially announced last week, which was during board meeting week, when all the board members of Holden came from all over the country, came in, and were here for about 5 or 6 days. And during that time, we had the privilege and the fun to announce the campaign that Holden is starting to do, which will be into full swing starting this summer. My name is Ann Cassidy. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm one of two people who actually work for the village outside the village. I work in my home, just out of my home in north of Seattle. So I get the good job of commuting here on a semi-regular basis. And I was thinking about that coming up this morning, how great my commute actually is compared to what it was before I first started working for Holden. But I'm having a great time. This is a wonderful place, as you all know. I'm sure all of you have been here for so many years and really know the feel of Holden and what it's all about. What the board of directors wanted to do in terms of the future is they engaged in a process that started a year ago, and they hired a firm out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Growth Design, to assess whether it would even be possible for Holden to raise a significant amount of money to begin to really address the capital needs that the village has. As you know, the village is about 65 or 70 years old, and there's some buildings who have been around since day one of them. All the buildings have been around for quite some time, but they've all been kind of improved in various stages and various ways over the years. Some not so good, some pretty good. So the board felt like they needed to raise a significant amount of money to really work on improving the status of the buildings, making them energy efficient, fireproof, upgrades of the building, making them handicap accessible, various things like this. And I have brochures for all of you if you would like to take one, which kind of outlines some of the major projects that the village will be undertaking here in the next several years. Also, another key part of this campaign is to raise money for program. We would like to raise money, for example, to provide more scholarships so more underserved populations can come to Holden and experience it from all parts of the country. We've had the privilege and the honor over the years to have many different groups come in who would never in the world ever have a chance to come here. And through a little scholarship pot of money that we had available, we were able to do that. So part of this campaign will also be looking to expand our programming and also offer more scholarships for people who need it. Then we're also raising money for our endowment campaign. The endowment is probably most of you know if you're involved in your churches who are raising money for their endowment campaign, so is Holden. Our goal is to raise $2 million, both in outright gifts and in planned gifts, which Margie is going to be talking about here in a few minutes, and with the hopes of raising $10 million in 10 years. And the endowment, we feel, will be real key to Holden's future because it will help sustain the village. hopefully this campaign may be our very last if we can raise enough money for our endowment to kind of keep, you know, the flow of money coming into the village to do the capital improvements and to offer the same quality programs that you've all come to enjoy and love about the village. So that's our hope. And Margie Fever is here. I'm just so tickled to pieces that she is here. She's with the ELCA Foundation from the Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod, right? Right, is that right? Yes. And she works with folks on making, of connecting people with different organizations, with the church, and is a really great person to answer questions today. Any questions that you may have, she has a brief presentation. So I'll just turn it over and we'll interject from there.
If I had to be brief?
Yes. No. No, you don't have to be brief.
Great. It is great to be here. How many are here for the first time at Holden? I thought what she said.
Okay. I just assumed.
That's how right. Many of you have been coming for more than 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 40, all right.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
I was asking.
40, oh, how many more for more than 40?
For you?
No. 30? Oh, that's wonderful.
That's
great.
Amazing.
All right, thank you so much. As Ann said, my name is Margie, and I serve as associate to the bishop in our synod. And our synod has been real, is fullness of God, and Holden Village is one of the institutions, organizations within our Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod. And our Synod has been very committed to help congregations and all of the nursing homes and outdoor ministries at Holden, all of those organizations build up their endowment programs, Ministry from the Future, or from generation to generation. And so I work with the ELCA Foundation, represent the foundation, which helps support what we're trying to do in our synod. And so I'm very, very happy to be here. How many of you, do any of you live in Eastern Washington, Idaho? You do. Yes. Some of you do. Okay, a few. The foundation has people like me all across the country. And if you like what I say today, and you fill out the evaluation form, and you would like someone to visit with you, I will contact that person in wherever you're from, Wisconsin or Minnesota or whatever, that do what I do, and they will come and visit with you to help you. We are all salaried people. We don't make any commissions, and we can't sell anything. So don't get worried about that, okay? We're just here to help fulfill your personal and charitable goals. What do you think of when you hear the word stewardship?
Time, talent, money.
You must be on the stewardship. What else? Any other ideas?
Commitment.
Very good.
Caring for the things around us.
As a camp director for 20 years, and as I always thought stewardship was only caring for the land and learning about being a caretaker of the land. And it took me a while to realize that stewardship and how the Bible talks about stewardship is everything we do after we say we believe. I love that definition. Everything is God's, and we are but caretakers of what God has entrusted to our care. One of the things as people who are a part of Holden Village, God has entrusted to our care this wonderful resource, which has, I know because of how many years you've been coming, has been an important part of your life. And we hope you will keep coming year after year, too. Okay, you can't just come once, okay? So as Ann said, we're hoping that we can build an endowment that will help future generations, help it so no one ever has to stay away because of inability to pay, all of those kinds of things. Keep the repairs on these buildings up, even with the new improvements in the last campaign, someday they're going to have to be improved again. And so we're hoping that with the endowment, we will be able to do that. So my focus today is going to talk to you about some ways that you might think of doing this and maybe sharing some ideas with others. I used to see these estate planning workshops in my church, and I'd steer far away from them because I thought you had to be old and rich in order to do something for the church. And the fact is that is regardless of your estate, every one of us can make a gift to Holy Village in our estate plan. We don't know, maybe if we do it through our will and we do 1% to hold it and 99% to our family, we don't know what that amount will be, but we are making a commitment to the future of this ministry here. So I put together a little outline here in the green form. You can follow along. And then kind of parallel to that is also that lavender form, which I'll ask, Andrew's going to bar the doors and make you fill that out. You can hand them to her before you leave, because we would like to know if you would like more information, if you would like someone to contact you. As the outline says, Christian estate plans can turn tax dollars into church dollars, in fact, almost always do, and give heirs an inheritance that's a blessing, and give a thank offering to the Lord. How many of you have heard stories about heirs receiving an inheritance that was not a blessing? Any of you ever heard that? Some of you nodding your head? Yep. I get calls like that often and said, you've got to tell this message because so-and-so in our family just received this inheritance. And if their father would have known what they would have received, you know, they wouldn't have liked this to happen. And so as I work with individuals, I try to work with them to make their plan that will be a blessing to their family and then ministries that they care about. When we do an estate plan, see if we can get this adjusted a little better. Can you see that? Y'all see that? There's only three places that you can leave what God has entrusted to your care. To family, to charity, Holden, your church, others, and the U.S. government. If you do not make any plans, guess which one gets left out?
Church.
Exactly. The charity, I can guarantee that the IRS does not have Holden Village listed in their plans. It just doesn't happen. So if you want to make a gift to Holden, your church, other ministries, you need to take the time to make a plan. When I work with people to do estate planning analysis or any of my colleagues throughout the country, we would look at all kinds of things. I sit down with individuals, or all of us sit down with individuals, and we do a complete estate analysis to see if you want to make a gift, which is the best gift to give, which is the best gift to leave to family, because there are certain assets that you might have that might be more of a benefit. We look at all kinds of different things that might be most benefit to you. There's, you know, hundreds of different kinds of trusts, for instance, that might be benefit to you. Obviously, since she said I had to be brief, I'm not going to go into all those details, and every plan is different. But those are some of the things that we would do if we met with you. Why do 7 of 10 people in this country die without a will or a living trust or a plan in place?
Don't want to think about it.
Don't want to think about it. That's hard, isn't it? It's very hard to think about it. What else?
Procrastination.
Read my notes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a big one up there. It's always something that's easy to put off, right? Mm-hmm. What else? Other reasons why people don't make plans?
I think some people think they know what's going to happen to it, and they assume that, well, it'll just go to the family, or they have the wrong assumptions of what will happen to this stuff.
They don't have much to leave.
Right.
Like both of those are good. They think they know what's going to happen. They think, I hear that a lot, there's not going to be enough to bury me. Why would I want to go to an attorney and pay money to have my plan put in place? That kinds of things. You've got almost all of them. Busy with life. We're always too busy. It's something that's not, you know, immediate need to be done. Too little property, as you said. Too expensive. I hear that a lot. I did a seminar not too long ago, and an attorney was in the group and said, don't do anything, because we make a lot more money when people don't do anything, which is absolutely true. People think that the plan is all in place, but it's going to cost more to do that. Don't like legal documents. I have a lot of that with people who have never met with an attorney, who've never done a will. Often I go with people to an attorney because they're nervous about it and it's kind of confusing. So we do a lot of that. Don't like legal documents. Unable to know the future. And like you said, don't plan to die or don't want to think about it. Why then is it important to have a will, or some of you may have what's called a living trust? One is to nominate an executor. If you don't nominate someone, the state you live in will nominate someone for you. When this was explained, when I was meeting with a couple with their attorney, and the attorney said, you know, we need to name someone, and because usually it's the person who gets to the attorney's office first, or often it will go to the oldest child, and this couple went, oh, we don't want our oldest son being the executor, it would be a mess. So you can name the person. We also recommend that you name an alternate in case the first person isn't able to serve. To nominate a guardian, if you have children under 18, I've been in this position 3 years, and I've had two calls where one in southern Idaho, well, both of them were in Idaho, one in Lewiston and one in Idaho Falls, where there were tragic accidents where parents were killed and children, there was not a will. And in one case, what happened is the judge split the kids and put them in foster care until it could be determined who would be their guardians because both sets of families wanted the children. Well, we talk about what God has entrusted in our care, and every one of us knows who has children, that children are such a wonderful gift from God, and I know none of us would want that to happen to our children. So if you have minor children or your children have minor children, make sure they have a will that names a guardian.
Margie?
Yeah?
Just, I'm sure everybody's heard stories of people that die without a will, but my wife was had an aging aunt who died without a will. And Diane, my wife, had power of attorney, but we couldn't get a will because of her mental status. She died and gave her money, unbeknownst to her, to 109 relatives in Europe that she'd never met. Basically had to do a search, and that's who ended up with her money. Where she, you know, she was a Lutheran, went to a church in North Seattle. I'm sure she would love to have given her money to her church. And people that didn't even know her got her money.
That, so many people don't realize that if you don't do a will, they're still going to probate it, and they're going to search for relatives. This happened not too long ago in Spokane, where an attorney said to me, a woman in his church in Spokane said, I want to do a will. I want to name the neighbors next door who always shoveled for me and took care of my yard, and I want to name PLU in my congregation. She didn't get into his office, died. He said he knew what she wanted. Didn't get done. They have to do a search. And they found these cousins of hers in Sweden, fifth removed. I'm sure they were real happy. Her estate was probably a couple $100,000, he said. But it was so sad that she didn't get to name the charities or the people she wanted. And that's the thing. Attorneys constantly pointed out to me. They said, everybody has a will. It's just that if you, as a steward of God's creation, have taken the time to work on it yourself, or if you've left the state of Washington or Minnesota or Wisconsin or wherever you're residing at the time of death, write it for you. And that's the thing we have to remember, that we all have wills, whether that we do them ourselves or not. And persons that you would like to name, maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a neighbor, they're not going to get named if you don't take the time to do it. And of course, to remember your favorite charity or charities or Holden Village, of course. A lot of people ask me about trusts. Do I need a trust? Should I have a living trust? And it really depends on your situation. It depends on where you live. Washington and Idaho happen to be the two of the lowest states for probate. A living trust, you actually avoid a probate. And some states, any of you from California or New York, high probate costs. All of my colleagues, all the people that I work with in California, basically all have living trusts because of the probate costs there. But a revocable trust is private. You can include medical care in it. It does avoid probate. You can manage assets. It's more expensive to set it up than normally a simple will, but a very good tool. And you know, if I met with you or one of my colleagues around the country met with you, that would be one of the things that we would help you look at and give you questions. Now, how could you leave a gift in your will or living trust? The simplest kinds of tools that I've seen people do is, number one, to tithe your estate. Give 90% to your family and give 10% to your church, to Holden Village. A lot of people I work with say, well, I want to give to Holden, I want to give to my church, I want to give to the symphony. And what we encourage them to do, and I've got samples up here, is to do a distribution agreement. You don't have to be Lutheran to do this, but if you're leaving, for instance, to Holden Village, at least 70% of whatever you leave in your gift, say you gave 10% in your will, you leave it to the Evangelical Lutheran Church, or if you're Missouri Synod, they have the same thing. And then if you ever wanted to change the will or add another church, you can do that. This distribution form stays at our office in Chicago. When that money is easy for your executor, comes to the church, they divide this up according to your wishes. If you ever want to change your will, you want to give more to Holden, you don't have to go back to your attorney and change your will and pay for that. You just call and change a distribution form. There's no cost to do this. So I have a lot of people doing this because it makes it very, very simple in your will, or if you leave other assets like pension plans or whatever, insurance policies, and there's no charge for this distribution as long as you leave it to something, 70% of it to something. You can leave 30% of it to the University of Minnesota and 70% to Holden, and the church will do that for you. So
70% of that 10?
Yes, 70% of the 10. Mm-hmm. Of whatever they receive, or say you only did 5% or 2%, whatever that amount is that comes to the church, 70% of that, as long as 70% is listed to Holden or something Lutheran. So some people have, you know, lots of other charities and things that they support, and 30% of it can be for something that's, you know, the local food bank or whatever. That might not be Lutheran.
Another simple way people do is divide your estate. Yes,
I have a question on that. Mm-hmm. Does it have to go to one certain Lutheran agency, or can you have three different Lutheran agencies making up your 70%?
Correct. You can have 10 different ones making up your 70% if you want to.
It's got to be a Lutheran body, is it?
Right. And a lot of people, like, there's a lot of things that people don't realize that are considered Lutheran, like Habitat for Humanity is considered Lutheran because the Lutheran Church supports that. So you always want to ask if that, because that could make up your 70% too.
On your evaluation form, if you would like me to send you a sample distribution form, I will send that to you. It's under A, just check that little box. I can send that to you. I would also send you, if you check that little box, a booklet. A will and trust booklet that helps you if you want to do your will or you want to revise it. And then this is a little booklet called Notes for Friends and Family. And it has everything from funeral plans to whatever in it, but it's great to leave with your other documents. My husband and I have two children. We have an almost 3-year-old and an almost 10-year-old. Of course, we have everything going to each other. If something happens to me, everything goes to him. After both of us have gone, if we die before our children reach a certain age, we're in the process of changing it. 25, it used to seem like a good age. People keep saying, change it to 35. So we're going to up it a little bit. But once our children reach a certain age, then we're dividing our estate by three. And we give 1/3 to each of our children. And our third child is our ministry child. And in that, we have several different ministries we support. Everything from our congregation's endowment to our synod's endowment to Holden to Lutheran community services, all kinds of things in that. So it might not be much, but that 1/3 will be divided by lots of different organizations. And again, the distribution form that I mentioned, that's how we're doing it. So this example shows 25, 25, 25. But we have 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 on 10 different ones. So I would say it's our ministry child, and my husband snuck in the University of Idaho. And one of our ministry children, I keep saying, you know, if you die first, I can change that will. He says he'll come back and haunt me, so I don't know. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I will leave some of these with Anne too, is
Our synod received a bequest a while ago, encouraging people to put something Lutheran from our synod. So even those of you that are not from this synod, but you would put Holden Village in your will or estate plan, and that means you need to go update your will. This wonderful gentleman left a bequest to encourage people to do that. So if I get a letter from your attorney in Minnesota that says John Smith put Holden Village in their will, here is the coupon, I'll send you the coupon, then we write that attorney's firm $50. So it helps save you a little money if you want to update your will and include Holden Village in it. It was a wonderful bequest, and we still have money in it to do, but it's really fun. I get these from all over, people who have put their church or Holden or something in their will. So I will send you one of those coupons, too, if you check that little box on that evaluation form that I think it's A. The other thing, I mentioned the will book and the for friends and family. The other thing we encourage you to do is to write a Christian preamble to your will or living trust. You know, we get so preoccupied sometimes with our material things that God has entrusted to our care. But one of the things that we forget often is that it's called last will and testament, because it's what we are and who we are. And sometimes that's only equated to material things. But just think of the gift of faith that God has given to each of us. My husband and I did this. Even though our wills are exactly the same, we have each written our own little Christian preamble. So when our children and family sit down to read our will, it will be kind of our own faith statement. One guy said, yeah, he goes, I've been trying to get my kids to go back to church forever, and boy, they're going to hear it again before they read the will, how much my faith meant to me. So here are some, just some samples. I have some other samples I can send you more to on that. Why are we talking about all this? I love Frank and Ernest. Pearly Gates, you know. New arrivals, check in here. Just because you can't take it with you is no excuse to leave it such a mess. So that's what being a steward means, is having it in a place so that it will be acceptable to your family, and it will be arranged. One of my friends in Coeur d'Alene, parents died in a tragic car wreck, and he said, you know, when we went back, everything was in place. He said, everything was organized. And he said, I realized that was the most loving thing my parents ever did for me. And he said, now he wants to do that for his own children, get things organized, because it can be a real burden. If any of you have ever been executors of an estate and nothing is in order, it can take so much time. And you know, do this for your family members. I like this one too. It's too late to change your will now. Looking over the cloud there. Okay, on the outline then, what are other ways that you can make a gift to Holden? I'm on 3B, and I want to mention life insurance. There are lots of different ways people leave a life insurance gift. It's really a simple tool to do. You can change the beneficiary form on a current policy. You could give... it be a contingent beneficiary. You could leave it, like, for instance, to your spouse and have Holden as the contingent beneficiary. You can do, if you're going to leave 90% to a child, you can leave 10% to Holden. It's so simple. You just call the insurance company and say, I want a beneficiary change form, and that's how it will be divided. You can make a gift of a fully paid-up policy. I run across a lot of people who have policies that they took out in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and they no longer need it for what it was intended. And so they gift the fully paid-up policy to the church. If you gift it, it's, again, if you want to gift it to the ELCA or you want to gift it directly to Holden, you can gift it to the ELCA for the benefit of Holden Village. We then do all the work in getting the sold, getting your tax letter to you, and then we just mail the check off to Holden. So it's a great way to make a gift. I did this recently with a woman who took out a policy in the 20s, a $500 policy. She paid about 98 cents a month for years. She said, when I took it out, I knew if anything ever happened to me, it would care for my children, right? Well, when we cashed it in, and she left it to her congregations, Mission Endowment, it was over $12,000, and she was just floored that she could make that kind of a gift with a $500 policy. Some people take out a new policy, and you can name Holden Village as the owner of the policy. Or you can name the Lutheran Church as the owner with the benefit, again, of Holden. That way you get a tax benefit. When you write the check to the ELCA, then the ELCA turns around and writes it to whatever your insurance company is. The beneficiary then is Holden Village. So the owner is, or Holden, or if you want to divide it up into 10 different charities, you can do however you want to. You can have Holden be the owner if it's just Holden is the best way to do it. But if you're going to leave it to your church, and Holden and several other ministries, have one of the church bodies be the owner, and then they will divide it up according to your wishes through a distribution agreement. Very simple to do. I want to also mention some what we call life income agreements listed there. And these are other ways that you can make a gift. And the reason they're called life income agreements is that you would get income for your life if you do one of these agreements. The first one listed there is a charitable gift annuity. Here's an example. CDs are maturing. Interest is paid. I don't even think you'd get 3 to 5% anymore when I did that slide. You'd like more income. A woman I just worked with, she had a 6.0 CD. She was getting 6% on it. It was a $100,000 CD. It was going to roll over, and it was going to be less than 2%. Well, she decided to do a charitable gift annuity with that gift. Because of her age, she is making 11.4% on that money now. She will receive that for the rest of her life. And then after she dies, it will go to all the charities that she's listed. So it's a great way to make a gift. Rates, it's fixed payments for life. You can get rates up to 12%. And you get an immediate tax deduction. And would you just hand one of these to everybody? And also one of these too. Okay. And partially, payments come to you tax-free. So people who really want to make a gift, but, you know, to Holden, but need income, this is a wonderful way to do it. On the blue sheet that Anne is handing out, I did a sample for Mr. and Mrs. I Love Holden. And Mr. or Mrs., I should say, this is a one-life gift annuity. And Mr. or Mrs. is Mrs. 83 years old. And in this case, she wants her to do a gift of $10,000. And she has some stock that she bought for $4,000. This is an actual person I just worked with, but I just changed the names to Holden, okay? So there's a gain at that of $6,000. Well, by gifting that, she is going to make 9.7% for the rest of her life, or $970 a year. After that is paid out to her, no matter how long she lives, whether it's one day or 20 years, then the rest goes to Holden. Or, again, that you could list Holden in your congregation or whatever. You could list several different charities. It's you can do a one-life or a two-life gift annuity, and this little brochure inside shows you different rates for different ages. Now, some of you are looking at me and saying, it only starts at 65, and we're much younger than 65, but we can do them as low as young as 35 for an outright gift, but there's also what's called the deferred payment gift annuity, and I do more of these with people under 65, who want to increase their retirement income. So they defer the payments until they reach 62 or 65 or 70 or whatever they want. Then their payments are increased. It supplements their retirement income. Questions on that? You know, I'm talking kind of fast here. That makes sense?
I'm not sure. I don't quite understand the value cost gain equation. What is that reference?
The you mean this part here?
Yeah.
This is a case of a stop gift. I'm sorry, I didn't explain that.
Oh, I see.
And because of the gain, she will avoid some of the gap capital gains taxes. Not 100% of it. But what's also wonderful about if you do something with appreciation is when you receive the income, you have to pay income tax on a portion of it.
Right.
But if it's gain income, you pay it on that lower amount
first. Right.
So, okay? So it's a, here's just a little bit more about, so for instance, a capital gain of $6,000, they save some money, they get an immediate tax deduction right away. So it's actual, if payout is higher, in effect it's 13.5% because of what you're saving tax-wise to make that gift. You could get monthly payments, quarterly payments. I've done these for, our minimum is $1,000, a lot of $1,000 gift annuities, and up to $200,000 gift annuities. So it's a great way to make a gift now. You can designate the gift to Holden's endowment if you want, or just for general.
Just outright. Anyway, it's your choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
however basically
you want to do that. We would just fill out, it's a very simple application you do with us that you don't have to have this, you don't have to go to an attorney or anything to have this done. It's just a simple way to make a gift. Here's an example of the deferred payment gift annuity for a couple who's 55 and 52. And you can pick up these samples up here afterwards. They're on the yellow. They made a $25,000 gift, and they're going to pay out for two lives. So one of them dies, the other one will get it. And then after the payments, it will go to Holden or the charities they've listed. So look what this does to their payout if it's been deferred. If they make the gift today and they defer it for 10 years, they're going to get $2,675 per year for the rest of both of their lives. The estimated payout is over $70,000, with Holden still receiving approximately $25,000. So again, a way to make a gift, get an immediate tax deduction, and receive income for your life.
Can I ask, so does Holden not get that money then until you both die?
Correct. We would list you in the, if you put it for endowment in this heritage circle, if you would let us know that you've done that gift.
But it would take a long time before Holden ever saw that money.
Yes. Yes.
You hope.
Just like a will gift. You never know. It's the same thing. If someone puts something in their will for Holden, you don't know if you're going to get that. You know, my dad, who turned 95 in January, he looked at this one day and he said, rates only go up to 90 or up to 12%. That's discrimination. He thought it was just terrible because he's, you know, going to live to be 120. So he thought the rate should be much higher than that for people who are now 95. So he thinks that, he says Lutheran on it. He thinks I can change it. Those are not set by the church. That's the Council on Gift Annuities that sets those rates. The next piece on your outline talks about a charitable trust. And I'm going to briefly mention this. A charitable remainder trust is a different kind of tool for gifting, but it's especially great for anything appreciated, stock, homes, farms, all kinds of things. Those are some of the things I've done charitable trusts with. Because you receive an income for your life, it can also go on to your children's life, which would even make the gift to Holden even longer. But then after it's been made, then it goes to charity. It's a little more complicated to set up for it. For instance, if it's property, I'm doing one right now. that's land. People had bought land years ago thinking they would build a house on it and never did. So that land is really appreciated, you know, from $5,000 when they bought it up to about $200,000 now. Well, they don't want to pay the capital gains taxes between $5,000 and $200,000. They'd be paying 20% on $195,000. So by gifting it to the church, they avoid all those gains taxes, 100% gains. We sell the property. They start getting income for their lives. They also want it to go on to their children. You can have it go on to your children for up to 20 years. And then it will go to the charities that they name in their trust agreement. These are, like I said, they're a little bit more complicated, but I've done 100 of these trusts, and they're a great way. One couple did a charitable trust with their farm, and they said it's great. They're really enjoying. They were ready to retire, and they didn't have family to leave. No one in their family. Kids didn't want a farm, so they gifted their farm. Another woman I did one recently with, she had a rental home that she had rented to college students for years, and she just got tired of keeping that up. And she said, you know, I'm getting more income than I was from the rent, and I don't have college students calling me at midnight saying the furnace went out. But the greatest joy, of course, is knowing that it's going to go to lots of different ministries later on. Another type of trust, and it's listed in this brochure too, is called a testamentary trust. And we set these up so that if you have an asset you want it to go to, think of a trust as an empty bucket. You set it up in advance, but nothing goes into this empty bucket till you die. And then you want it to pay out, like, to family members for a period of time. In this case, for instance, Mr. and Mrs. Lutheran had an estate of $1.2 million. Now, this year, would they have to pay estate taxes on that?
To each other, not to each other.
No. If the last, this is the second to die. Right, this year it's 1.5 million. It's going up every year, and then in 2010, supposedly the estate tax would be repealed. So it's not an issue for a lot of people. The other thing is, a lot of people don't know is what else is going to be repealed in 2010. You know what it is? It's the stepped-up basis. So if you received stock today, for instance, from your parents, and they paid $1,000 for it, and you received it at $10,000, you receive it at $10,000. Well, in 2010, you're going to receive it and have to pay the capital gains taxes on it. So what used to be only 3% of the people in this country paying estate taxes, now will be about 90%, and it's, don't get me started, but it's the whole rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer, because it will be, most of us will be paying those taxes. So write your legislator. But in this case, the estate value was 1.2. They wanted to give a gift outright to their children, but they had $200,000 sitting in an IRA. What happens if you gift an IRA on a beneficiary form to your children or goes to your estate?
It taxes us.
Whoever receives it has to pay the income taxes on it. So I just met with a man who was going to gift his IRA to his nephew, and I said, does your nephew want this? I called the nephew. The nephew's in California. He says, I'm already in the 37% tax bracket. This $500,000 IRA would just go all to taxes. Okay? He does not want it. People don't realize that. They think they're leaving a wonderful gift to their kids, but the kids have to pay those income taxes on it. So in this case, they set up a testamentary trust. On the beneficiary form of their IRA, they said they wanted it to go to the Mr. and Mrs. Lutheran Trust. We set up the trust document, so when the church receives this in the bucket, then we pay out to their children. In this case, for 20 years, the kids are going to pay that, the trust income. And then following that, it's going to go to Holden and other charities that they've mentioned. The beauty of this is we call it a give-it-twice trust, because they're giving first to their family and to the church, or to Holden. The kids would have paid a lot of taxes on that, receiving it. They paid in their own tax bracket, and nothing would have gone to charity. Kids are receiving 5% of that income, and then the trust is growing. We don't know what it's going to grow, but this is pretty conservatively when you look at trusts over, you know, a 20-year span. That trust could grow, and Holden could receive over $350,000 from setting up that kind of a trust. I also want to say before I forget, if you ever think about doing a charitable trust, please contact one of the ELCA representatives, because the church pays for your trust agreements. I did a workshop once and did not say that, and a woman called me and said, I went to my attorney and set up a charitable trust. And I said, oh, what did it cost you? Well, it was over $4,000. And we would have paid that bill for her had we been a part of setting that up. So if you're, as long as 70% goes to Holden or something like that. So don't go and just set it up yourself. Call one of us and we'll make sure. Call Ann and she'll hook you up with someone to do that. Some people also give a gift outright of an IRA, again, because you bypass income tax. If your estate is subject to estate taxes, it would bypass estate taxes. You can give part or all of your IRA, and it's very simple. It's just by your beneficiary change form. So 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, these are a great way to give. This is at the beginning. I talked to you how we analyze assets. We have good and better assets to give to charity. In this case, a $500,000 estate, they wanted to give about $50,000. Well, when I looked at their assets, it's better not to just give $50,000 to the estate. It's better to do it on the beneficiary form because of the tax. The tax is involved. The IRA would be subject to tax.
Would a Roth IRA also have been subject
to tax? No, a Roth IRA does not. This is the traditional IRA. If you have Roth IRAs or transferred, I transferred some of an IRA into a Roth, that's different. That when you get that's not subject to tax, the income. This is traditional IRAs. Thank you for saying that. So the charity receives it, no income tax, no estate tax. Okay, next on your list there is called donor advised funds. And this is a fund if you decide you would like to do an endowment, kind of a family endowment, the Ann Cassidy Donor Advised Fund. And each year then, or her husband, do you have children?
No.
Ann and her husband would decide each year where the income from that fund would go. One year they wanted to go to Holden, one year they wanted to go to Lutheran Social Services, one year they wanted to go to their congregation, one year they wanted to go to the symphony, whatever. A lot of people do these to teach their children about stewardship. I have also people who are setting these up because they say we don't need presents anymore. We don't have any. We don't want to get things at Christmas and birthdays. So we encourage our children to gift to our donor advice fund, and then we have fun making those gifts outright to wherever they wanted to go. You can set it up so that, as long as you're alive, you decide, and then you can have your children decide. It has to be a minimum of $10,000. You can add to it at any time. Each year you decide where the distributions, or maybe you do it quarterly, depending, you know, how much you want to give. And it really teaches your family and future generations about stewardship and giving. I have one family who have really little children, and so far they said, well, it's gone to their school playground, the Humane Society, because the kids, you know, think of things that they want. But they know they're teaching even their 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds about gifting, so that was real important to them. Another fund is sort of like a mutual fund, and it's called a pooled income fund. It's kind of the charitable cousin to the mutual fund. This I use especially for people who have property that's a lower value. Like, say you have a piece of property worth $10,000 and you want to avoid capital gains taxes. It doesn't have the same payout rate as a charitable trust, but it receives stock and different property at a lower amount. So that's another great way. Okay, I'm talking too much. What are your questions? Thoughts, ideas?
Does Holden have a foundation?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I expected to hear something about it because I know it's just beginning, or it has not very active, but I think it's a very basic way of moving things.
Absolutely. We have both Holden Village is incorporated in Holden Village Foundation, which they're kind of separate entities. We ask that anybody who would be giving gifts to our endowment fund give it to the foundation that is channeled into our endowment. So, yes, and it was just set up, I believe, just a couple years ago. So it's brand new. Currently, Holden has in its endowment fund $340,000 or something.
7 years ago.
Oh, yeah, $370,000?
It was set up 7 years ago.
Oh, 7 years ago. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying how much
you were endowment getting it set up. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Board for 18 years.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh,
well,
he wonderful.
Was the chair of the Holden board.
Yay! What's your name?
Dwayne
Lansford.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't mention that. Yeah, when I talked about endowment, I was thinking about, going to the foundation.
Absolutely, yes. And
but
so
if you're going to make a gift, it needs to be either to the foundation
or to Holden Village.
And just to say to leave it to Holden, it's not going to that foundation.
Well, you can. I mean, as long as you designate the gift, if we get a gift and it's made out to Holden Village, for example, and you say, I want this in the endowment, it will go to the endowment. So it is donor directed. I mean, however you, where you would like the gift to go, basically. But it gets to be confusing for people sometimes. I mean, you know, we get checks to the endowment fund made out to Holden Village.
Yeah. Do you have a policy that says a certain amount goes to the foundation if you receive a gift to Holden Village and it's a $5 million gift?
Yes.
Yeah, there's usually a policy that has...
Right. The board just adopted some plan giving policies and procedures about how to handle these kinds of gifts.
Often a percentage goes to the endowment to the foundation.
Unless it's donor directed, right.
Yeah.
Okay, Virgie, I'll confess, I'm one of those people that doesn't have a will.
You're one of the majority!
Okay.
You should
Do you guys pay, do you do the wills too, or do you still have to go to an attorney? What does the ELCA pay for? What would I go to you for versus what would I have to go to somebody else for?
We cannot pay for the wills or the living trusts. What we can do is give you the coupon if you put Holden in the will to help you pay for it. But what I do with people is sit down with them and I walk through this wills booklet with them. Because what it does, there's even a section in the back, questions to ask the attorney. I have worked with hundreds of attorneys and they say, boy, when this comes filled out, I don't have to ask all those questions, which makes it a lot less more expensive for you because most of them charge by the hour. And so it just helps you get ready to go to the attorney. Some people choose not. They choose to do their own will, off the internet kind of thing. We have found that those are more easily contested. And so we recommend that you, at the bare minimum, get it notarized. And it depends on your state law, too. Okay. Idaho, you can do a will without anything.
Yeah, that's just
and it has to be held up in court. So, where are you from?
Chicago, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I'm sorry.
Time.
Yeah, I don't know all the rules there, but it's good. What it does is it makes you do it. You spent this time working with someone, and we sit down and we go through all of it. Then I'm going to call you up and say, okay, have you gone yet to the attorney? Have you gotten your will done? And it's just kind of a prodding thing. But
then
we don't
have the attorney do the charitable side of things because you guys would do that. The attorney would just do herbal.
No, it would be written into the, depending on what you did. If you said, I want to give 10% in my will, that would be written into the will. And you would say, I'm not sure what you want. It depends on what you want. If you wanted 10% to go to Holden, and no other charities, you probably would just write Holden Village or Holden Foundation into your will. If you said, boy, I want to leave to the seminary and Holden and my congregation, then I would encourage you to do this, leave it in a distribution form. So you would say to 10% to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America per the Barbara forgot your last name.
Rossing
distribution agreement. And then whoever works with you, if it was me, I would fill out the form, send this in, and you get it back, you know, signed, so you have a copy and the church has a copy.
And same with the trust stuff, you should do that through the attorney, not through you guys?
No, well, the trust stuff, if you're doing a regular trust, you would do that through an attorney. If you do a living trust, or they're called a revocable trust, or if you're doing a credit shelter trust, or an insurance trust, or there's all kinds of trusts. If you're doing a charitable trust, we would encourage you to do it first through us, because we would pay for the trust documents for this. We would encourage you to have your own attorney review it. But we contract with a firm, because if we're going to be the trustees of the trust, we want to know it's written right. So, but we would pay for that. It's right around, you know, $4,000 to do that the church pays for, both for testamentary trusts and for other charitable trusts. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a little confused. First, I got a comment and then a question. My comment, we did ours in 90. We were both going to fly off to Europe, and we thought if the plane goes down, it really wouldn't be fair to our son to have to do it. So, but I was going to say to Barbara, you know, have some of this down. Luckily, I work for the school district. We get an hour of lawyer time a year.
Oh, great.
And we had a very nice lawyer when we showed up. He said, you do not want to waste my hour sitting here making these decisions. Here's what you need to decide, go home and come back. And so it was really not very costly for us. That's my comment, and I'd love to see what's in there, because we're gonna have to change ours. But
so you didn't cost you as much because you had everything done?
Because we had everything done, walked in there, and then we just started telling him what we wanted, and he wrote it up.
Yeah, you had a question.
But the question was, okay, now I'm really confused, because in this will that I think I'm going to change, we have two rentals. Mm-hmm. And then our home, and we have three kids, and so the home was going to go to one rental's going to go to one rental's going to go to the other. Now, is what you're saying is that if we turn those over to you, then do you sell them immediately?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a money thing, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you do it during your life.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do it now. You can also do it, what's called the testamentary trust, and you list in your will that you want the rental properties to go to the testamentary trust to pay out to the kids for so many years. Yeah, I have a lot of people that have done that with homes because, or rental properties, or businesses, because they want a stream of income to their kids. They don't want them to get too much.
Well, that's
just,
that's exactly the situation.
And what if you've already depreciated the rental property or something? Do you still get a tax deduction?
Yes, you would get some. It wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, at least to have a will read it, at least in Seattle isn't all that expensive if you have, you know, all your ducks lined up. I mean, we had ours just recently redone. It was only $400. So
if you have a lot of information gathered, you can go.
I don't know about Chicago. It's probably more in Chicago, but it's not all that expensive.
Well, I certainly don't have a gathered radio. I'm a progressive.
Well, and don't be afraid to call around, and we can't recommend attorneys, but I could give you a list of Chicago attorneys that, you know, and a range of their prices, and I encourage people to call them. And I mean, in Spokane, I've had people do wills for $150 and $1,500.
Yeah, when you're talking these thousands of dollars, I think ours was under $200.
Yeah, I've had a lot of them done for under $200. I would be happy to stay around. I know you might want to get to something else, but I would really appreciate you filling out that lavender form and handing it to Ann. Again, if you would like me to send you an illustration for a gift annuity, your birthdays are on the bottom, and just put an amount in there, and I will send you that illustration just to give you an idea of what that would be. So fill that out for us, if you would, please. And
the brochures on our campaign, if they're in various places around the village, if you would like to pick up one up to take a look at it, has all the information and about our new heritage circle.
And then please help yourself to any of this. And if you do put Holden in your will or do a gift annuity, please consider being a willing witness so that we can list you in the heritage circle. It's really fun to be able to say, we won't say amounts or anything, but we'll just list you as a part of our heritage circle. And that would be really, really special for you to do that.
It's just a way that we can recognize and say thank you for this wonderful gift you've made.
And it might inspire someone else to do it.
Yep.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Of course, if you have